I come to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I ask your apologies if I have to stop and take a sip of water throughout here. Apparently in Texas, there's something called ragweed, and it makes you lose your voice, apparently. So today is a special day on the church calendar. For those of you who may have seen, as we were still cleaning up afterwards, we did our great big blessing of the animals service today. And you notice a lot of the 11 o'clockers. That's why they may not be here today, because they went and had their dogs and their cats and their birds blessed. And this is something that Episcopal churches across the country do on this day. And it's a wonderful service that we offer to welcome into our midst, not just our human brothers and sisters in Christ, but our furry and our feathered and our scaly loved ones, to come and receive a blessing here in our church as well. And the reason why we offer this service on this particular Sunday in churches across the country is because this is St. Francis Day, or rather, St. Francis Day is coming up close on October 4th. And every time St. Francis Day comes up, it reminds me of a story from when I was in seminary. And this is a story of my liturgy professor named James Farwell, who was well known through the seminary community for what came to be known as his Farwell rants. And the reason for these, they were called the Farwell rants because they were things that he found that were so objectionable, so noteworthy as practices in the church, that he would stop teaching class and rant, have a Farwell rant. He would actually put them in the course syllabus, so we knew when they were coming, you know. October 4th, Farwell rant, and we would just kind of know, got to hang on for the ride. There was no escaping it. And one of the Farwell rants was about St. Francis Day. And the reason was because he would say, you know, so Francis was a great guy. Well, we like him a lot. He's not Jesus. And he's right, right? And so he pointed out in the prayer book that if you look in the prayer book, it makes it really clear that Sundays are for celebrating Jesus. And so if St. Francis Day falls on a Sunday, you can celebrate it on Saturday, you can celebrate it on Monday, but you are not to celebrate it on Sunday. And certainly not move your St. Francis Day celebration to a Sunday service, like every Episcopal church in the country does. And so here's where I'll come to. I won't subject you to the entire length and breadth of the Farwell rant, but I will say I actually disagree with this a little bit, and it's going to cause the dead hand of Jim Farwell to come and grab my still beating heart, and the man's not even dead yet, right? He finds this out and it will kill him and then make him roll over in his grave. That I actually think this is a good thing that we're celebrating St. Francis Day. And here's why. Because he's right. He's right that Francis is a great guy, very swell, but he's not Jesus. And the fact is, neither are any of us. Neither of any of us. When we go and we live our lives, so often on Sunday mornings, we hear of all of the wonderful things Jesus did and the wonderful choices Jesus made, and they're supposed to inspire us in how we live our lives. But quite frequently, the choices Jesus makes are unapproachable to us. You know, we can't wave our hands and cure the blind. We can't feed thousands of people with just a few loaves of bread and fish. We can't raise people from the dead. And so as wonderful as Jesus' lessons are, I think it's also noteworthy that we should take the time to recognize human beings, normal, everyday people like you and me, who didn't have divine powers and yet strove to figure out how to live as God would have them live in their lives. We have a wonderful calendar of saints like St. Francis, stretching back to all the way back to the people who followed Jesus first, Peter and Paul and Andrew and James and John, all the way to more recent saints, all the way to people like Francis, even more modern to folks like Jonathan Merrick Daniels or or the Catholic Church's most recently minted saint, Saint Teresa. Wonderful examples of people just like us who had to choose how to live in a world that God has given us and to choose whether or not to follow Jesus when we can't exactly be like Jesus. And so I won't give you the entire story of Francis's life. There's too much to do in just 5 minutes here. But I encourage you all, go home, read about Francis. Talk about Francis with your friends, with your family, around the table. Because it's a wonderful story, and there are indeed wonderful lessons to learn. But I'll give you the Cliff Notes version here. And that is that Francis started out as a very human person, very human. Just like you and me, had flaws, had drawbacks of his own. Well before he was known as Saint Francis, he was well more known for his drinking and his partying with his young friends than he was for anything he'd be a saint for. Probably belonging better in a copy of Animal House than your copy of Lesser Feasts and Fasts. And he was a wealthy man, a powerful man, who frankly had a lot of people in society who were below him in status that he could trample all over and nobody would have thought much about it because he was a have in a world of have-nots. But something happened to Francis. He heard God. He heard God calling out to him in his life. And he heard the message that even small faith, even faith the size of a mustard seed, can change people's lives, can move mountains. And he heard the story in the Gospel of Luke, where in the Gospel of Luke in particular, Jesus is challenging him to flip the script, to take the world that he's been given, a world in which it's divided up into haves and have-nots, in which everybody knows where their status, where their place in the status of society is, and to turn that world upside down. Challenged like we are in this gospel story to ask, would we welcome our servants to the table to dine with us as brothers and sisters, even though we don't have to, even though they're there supposedly to serve us, would we welcome them to the table? And that's exactly what Saint Francis did. He took his wealth and his power and he flipped the script. He took the world that had been given to him, a world filled with servants, and he said, I don't want you to serve me anymore. I want to serve you. And more importantly, I want us to dine together as brothers and sisters, to gather around a table and to look past status and to see that we are all the same in the only way that matters. We're beloved creatures of God. And that's indeed something for us to celebrate. It is a celebration of Saint Francis, but it actually is also a celebration of Jesus. Because it's a celebration of how Jesus worked in the life of somebody like you and like me, a normal human being who's been presented with a world and challenged to look at it the way God would have him look at it. So thanks be to God that we have people that can serve as examples in our lives like Saint Francis. And thanks be to God for Jesus Christ who led him and guided him and who leads us and guides us in the world that we've been given. In the name of one God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.